share a couple of verses this morning, and I'll be using some more verses to go along with it. But I do want to share something that's been on my heart the last couple of weeks, and the preacher had asked me to fill in for him while he's gone, and I count it an honor and privilege that I get to serve with Pastor Robbie Harrington. I see him on the back side of things, and I want to tell you something. He loves you. He loves the church, and I'm thankful he loves me, and that means a lot to me. And I want to say this. I want to thank the church for loving me and my family. Back in 2018, we just obeyed the Lord, and here's what I found out about obeying the Lord. If you'll obey him, he'll work everything else out. And we had a lot of uncertainty, to be honest with you. I knew a few of you, Brother Dalton and some folks, but I didn't know most of you, and you didn't know us. But I'm going to tell you something. God, it was a God-orchestrated thing, because I'm telling you, I've gained some wonderful friendships, and there's no doubt there's some people in this building that'll take their knife out and cut somebody for the associate pastor. Somebody say amen. I believe that. I like them kind of friends. Can I get a witness? And or a gun, whatever it may be, Brother Shelton, amen. And but seriously, it means the world to me. And don't take that for granted. I'm gonna tell you something. Satan's a divider, and he's gonna do everything he can to get you upset about something somebody said or didn't say, or a look somebody gave you, or am I right about it, man? I'm tell you something. There's some ugly looks in church sometimes, just like some of y'all looking at me right now, amen. But I ain't leaving. But I'm going to tell you something, it's a joy to be in a safe place with God's people in God's presence. Somebody say amen. I want you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter number 10. I'm going to share just two verses. If y'all help me up there on the screen, Miss Jenny, I appreciate it. And I'm conscious of the time this morning, so I won't be trying to be that long. But I don't get to preach often. So when I do, I'm going to. Somebody say amen. But I do want to share something with you. I hope that'll be an encouragement to you and be a help to you. Last Sunday morning, you'll notice Brother Robbie, he preached, did a phenomenal job, and he challenged us. He didn't even have a homiletical outline, but he's over in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, and he began to tell us and basically exhort us to apprehend the one who's apprehended us. Y'all remember that? All right. And then Wednesday night, he preached over in Revelation chapter number 2. If you were here, he talked about the seven churches. And he challenged us, and because there were several things we could apply out of each church. But one church comes to mind that often all of us, probably many of you know, and it's the church of Ephesus. It's right out of the gate in chapter number 2. They have everything going on. I mean, man, God's blessing them, and man, they look like they're blessed. But he said, I have something against you. He said that you've left your first love. I don't know about y'all, but I think in starting 2020, I think it would be a good thing to put Jesus back first place where he ought to be. I'll just be honest with you. I've been challenged about that. God's doing that in my own life, because here's what I'm finding out. When Jesus is not, if he's just someplace and he's not first place, then I promise you this, he's not in the right place in your life. Oh, I need more than two people say amen right there. If Jesus is not first place, but you've got him someplace, he's not in the right place in your Christian life. I want him in the right place of my life. The reason we come is because of him. The reason we serve is because of him. The reason we have joy, listen to me. I'm thankful for my King James Bible. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason we have joy is because of him. And peace is because of the person of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God lets us know who that person is. And how many of you are glad you got a Word, praise God, you can live by and trust in, knowing that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? And I want to challenge you this morning with a thought. I guess you could say, if I had a title of the message after we read the verse, I'll give you the title of it. But let's read two verses in chapter number 10. If you're there, holler amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then verse 10, the Bible says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm glad it doesn't end there. Jesus says this. He said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. How many of you could raise your hand as a testimony of the fact you have eternal life through trusting in the Lord Jesus? Amen? I believe many of us in this building do, but I promise you this, majority of the people that have raised their hands may have eternal life, but we're not living the abundant life. That's where I want to be. Paul said, I have not apprehended yet. But one thing that he strove to do was he strove to live the abundant life found in nobody else but Jesus and Jesus alone. You say, how do you know that? He'd say things like this. He'd say, for me to live, guess what? Is Christ. He said he knew that that Jesus was not just some place in his life, but first place and priority in his Christian life. And I believe if we're going to live an abundant Christian life, we need to get back to Him being first place in our Christian walk. Amen? That He's not just some place, but He's first place. And I want to show you a few things. I want to preach on this subject, living the life of abundance. Or living life abundantly. How many of you want everything that Jesus has for your life? Come on. Come on, help me now. I don't want to be a Christian and fall short of what Jesus wants to do in my life. I want it all, but to have it all, I've got to learn some things and apply them to my life so that I can walk and live in the abundance of what Jesus has for me. You say, preacher, how do I live that? Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe every one of us, amen, we can live the abundant life Jesus has to offer by a few truths I want you to show you out of these couple of verses, all right? All right? I want to tell you this, first of all, abundant life, one man wrote this, refers to life in its abounding fullness of joy and strength for mind, body, and soul. I believe Jesus is everything that you and I need for today. I believe He's everything for my mind. I believe He's everything for my body. I believe He's everything for my soul. But I've got to tap into that to live the abundant Christian life. If Jesus is not first place, then He's in the wrong place in my life. Somebody say to me, if you don't get nothing I say, get that. If He's not first place, He's in the wrong place in your life. Before I get into the first point, I got to thinking about, y'all remember when Joseph and Mary, y'all remember when Jesus was 12 years old, I believe it's in Luke chapter number 2, they go to Jerusalem and they take Jesus with them, and all of a sudden they leave Jerusalem and they go about a day's journey and don't realize, they look and realize that, hey, Jesus is not here. Y'all remember that? They had to go back and it took them longer to get back. Let me just throw this out at you. When you leave Jesus, sometimes it's going to take you a little longer to get back. But I got good news for you. Praise God, He'll be there when you get there. But I thought about this and how that they got back, but yet how in the world did they leave Him? I mean, He's top priority. He's Jesus. How could they miss Him? He's 12 years old, and God told me this. God spoke to me about this. He was 12 years old. How many of you want your teenagers not to be hanging out with you? Most time, right? Teenagers sometimes are difficult, right? Jesus never gave his... I don't think that Jesus gave his parents problems like we did ours, all right? But I thought about this and how that, you know, when Jesus was an infant, I guarantee you, they made sure of where He was at every single day. But isn't it something how that He was 12 years old? He just ain't as important, maybe. Are y'all with me? Isn't it amazing how time in our Christian life, we one time, y'all remember when you first got saved? Man, all you wanted was Him. Man, you was just soaking Him up, and He was, man, soaking you in, and man, y'all were just like peas and carrots. Can I get a witness? I mean, you were together. Are you with me in your relationship with the Lord? Then all of a sudden, you started getting involved in church, started getting involved in ministry, you started doing for God, and the next thing you know, you done realize, hey, where's Jesus? Here's how you can tell if Jesus is first place in your life. Y'all ain't ready for this, are you? What's the first thing people see when they meet you? Do they see who? Money. Boy, they like making money. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I like making money too. Can I get a witness? I just ain't got none. And I don't know how to make none. Except selling bowl peanuts. Been tempted to. What's the first thing people notice about your life? Here's the thing. When When Joseph and Mary got distant from Jesus, when people saw Joseph and Mary, guess who they did not see anymore? Oh, that's good, ain't it? Who do people see when they see you? Do they see Jesus? I don't know about y'all, but I got a lot of work to do. Amen. I got a lot of work to do. Jesus needs to be first place in my walk with Him. I want to give you a few things I noticed out of these couple of verses that I believe will be a help to us where we can live in the abundant Christian life that Jesus has to offer. I want you to notice, first of all, it's a choice. It's just a choice. How many of you know life's full of choices? You made a choice to come here this morning. You made a choice to come to Sunday school or not. You made a choice to either drive separate or not. Like me and Teresa, we have to drive separate. Because if we drive together, I'll have a black eye and a busted lip. So we choose to drive separate to keep a good relationship. Because I'm not about to say, honey, you ain't ready yet. Can y'all feel my pain, fellas? Yeah. Life's full of choices, right? We made the choice whether or not to be here or not, but yet, praise God, we made the choice to be here, so that means God's going to speak something into our life. But life's full of choices. He said this, he said in that verse, I want you to notice, he said, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In other words, Jesus is there to give it to you. Jesus has come not only to give us eternal life, but to give us the abundant life that He has to offer. The choice is not whether or not He's going to choose it for me. The choice has already been made for me. I've just got to choose Him. Are y'all with me? Say amen. I want to give you a few verses out of His. I want you to think about this and how that Jesus has already chosen us. John 15:16 says, you have not chosen me. He's talking to the disciples. He said, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. 1 Peter 2:9-10 says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past ye were not a people, but now the people of God. Somebody help me say amen right there. The people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He said, you're a chosen generation now. Ephesians 1:4 said, according as He hath chosen us, here we go, in Him, talking about Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, I don't know about you, but that's telling me that before God ever created anything, He'd already chosen me and you. I would say Him choosing us is an important choice. But I sure am glad that I can choose Him and have chosen Him in eternal life, but can choose Him for the abundant life. Amen. I thought about a couple of things in choosing and making that choice to choose the Lord. I thought about when we make that choice to live the abundant Christian life. Let me tell you this, it's an available choice. You say, what do you mean? Some of you may be sitting here this morning, you're saying, man, I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to walk with Jesus like I know I ought to. And I'll never be able to do this like this person does. Or I'll never be able to rejoice like this individual does. Let me say this. Everlasting life is available to whosoever will. Somebody say amen. But also, listen, not only that, but the abundant life that He has to give to us is available to us all too. He's no respecter of person. In other words, His choice is available. He said, if any man, in verse number 9, notice what He said. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture. His choice is available for every single one of us. In other words, you can't blame God if you are living outside the abundant Christian life. I can't blame God if I'm living outside of the abundant. Let me say this. How many of you have made some New Year's resolutions? Come on, be with me. Some goals you want to do, you want to either lose weight, you want to whatever it may be. But do you realize to do that it's a choice? And to be honest with you, every single one of us, think about this, every single one of us can meet those goals if we make the choice to do so. Paul said, I can do all things through what? Christ, which strengthens me. The choice is available. I'm thinking about me and Teresa. We sit down the other day and I said, honey, I said, this was dangerous too. Dangerous. I said, listen. I said, God's been working on me. And she was like, thank God, finally. I said, God's really been working on me. And listen, I said, listen, I know there's probably a million things that I need to do better in our relationship that you would like to see me do. But just all I want is one right now. Are y'all with me? Just one. She looked at me. She's like, like that, you know. And I said, well, don't, because she looked like she was excited about telling me. I was like, man, she's going to just take the air out of my balloon. I was like, hang on. I said, don't do it right yet. I said, this afternoon we went out, and I said, all right, tell me. She said, you know what? She said, that one that I'm thinking about, boy, this made me feel good. She said, that one that I'm thinking about said, for the last few weeks, you've actually been doing it without me telling you. Yeah! Yes! Hallelujah. But it was a choice. In other words, it's available to the place to where all you have to do is work on it. Are y'all with me? Not only is it available, but I noticed the second thing under that, under a choice, it's available, but it's also assuring. His choice is assuring. He said in verse number 9, he said, he shall be saved and shall go in and find pasture. Verse number 28 of this same chapter, he said, I've given them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. How many of you are glad when you make the choice to trust Jesus, not only for salvation, but in sanctification and service? How many of you are glad? Thank God it's an assuring choice. He's never going to let you down. I know that I've oftentimes let God down, but He will never, ever let us down. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. But oftentimes for our satisfaction and joy, you know what? We choose relationships. We choose jobs. We choose friendships. We choose opportunities. But let me ask you something. For your joy and your peace, why not choose Jesus? Why not? Because how many of you know that next job ain't going to bring peace and joy? That next relationship, although, man, I've seen people more excited about dating somebody new than having Jesus in their life. And then they find out they was just like the last one that they dated. Am I right about it? What choice are you going to make this morning? If you're not saved, guess what? You can choose Jesus for eternal life. He's ready, He's willing, He's open, He's able. But if you're saved on your way to heaven, you've never made a choice to put Jesus first place, top priority in your life, do it and you'll live the abundant life that God has for you. Amen? It's a choice. Not only is it a choice, but I found out living the abundant Christian life in Jesus is not only a choice, but it's challenging. How many of you could say it's a challenge to live and walk in the abundant life that Jesus has to offer? I thought about in that challenge, He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I promise you, if we may, here in a few moments, we're going to give the invitation and we'll give a challenge to come and actually do what we heard this morning. But you know what I'm finding out? It's going to be a challenge when I walk out of this building from the decision that I made and the choice that I made to give Jesus first place in my life. He said, the thief cometh but for to kill, steal, and destroy. In other words, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I know about the challenge. We're going to be challenged by the foe. That's right. And the foe is the devil. How many of you found out and know that he's real? Somebody help me now. He's real. The devil's real. And he'd do everything he can to knock you off the course that God has you in walking. The devil's going to do everything he can just because you said yes to the abundant life in Christ. He's not going to lay back. He's not going to sit back. He's not going to be sipping on lemonade, so to say. And what he's going to do is he's going to come out and he's going to do everything he can to bombard your life to get you away from the will of God in your life. How many of you know that when you finally surrender to God's will for your life, there's a big bullseye on your back? It's a choice we make, but yet it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge by our foe, the devil. Satan's real. 1 Peter 5, 8, 9 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take it." Is it all right if I keep reading the Bible? Come on. You need to know this stuff, because the devil is real. God said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that we may resist the devil." He said, "Wherefore, taking to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." If your enemy has a face, as one man said, you're fighting the wrong enemy. The enemy's the devil. He wants to do everything he can to get me out of the will of God, to get you out of the will of God, to not experience the abundant Christian life. But yet I got news for you: greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. There's going to be a foe. You're not going to wake up any day and the devil not try to attack. He's real. He's going to do everything he can. That's why we got to be on guard. We got to be suited up. We got to be prepared and equipped through the power of God's word. How many of you glad? One word. Are y'all with me? Y'all, I don't know if I've told y'all this or not. Maybe I have. Y'all remember the temptation of Jesus before he was launched out in his public ministry? Satan bombarded him right out of the gate. Y'all remember that? That's exactly what he'll do with you and the choice that you make to really get serious about living in the abundance of what God has for you. You know what he did? He quoted three verses out of Deuteronomy. I like what one man said. He said he just did his Bible devotion that morning with three verses and run the devil off. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Every time he was tempted, you know what he did? He said, "As it is written." Why don't you make it a year this year that you're going to choose to suit up with God's Word? Because the challenge is going to come. If you ain't got a word to go against the devil, you're going to be defeated. Somebody say amen right there. There's a foe that's going to be a challenge. Not only are we going to be challenged by our foe, but I want to say this, we're going to be challenged by our flesh. I don't know about y'all, but how many of you was like me when I got saved? Right, see if you can relate. I got saved, and when I got saved, I didn't know all I was getting, but I sure am glad I got it. Didn't know anything much, but praise God, I knew that Jesus had done something. And nobody had to tell me. I knew something was different. I was seeing different. I'd experienced the presence and power of Christ. I didn't know what all had happened, but I sure am glad it happened. But let me tell you how dumb I was. I thought, man, I'll never sin again. Anybody in that category with me, I'll never sin again. That's what I thought. 2 weeks later, uh-oh, somebody pulls out, and praise God, I give them the finger, and it went number one. Can I get a witness? Hello, don't act like you ain't ever done it or wanted to. Jesus said, if you even want to, it's my will do it. And I found out that my flesh, here's what I found out, my flesh didn't want to live in the abundance of what Jesus had done for me. And man, I felt bad, thought I had to get saved over again until I started learning my Bible. Amen. But here's what I learned every single day. And listen, in the 23 years I've been saved, guess what? That flesh is just as wicked and ungodly and doing everything you can to keep me from serving Jesus, and you too. But you know what I've decided to do, that we all ought to do, is just decide that, praise God, even though it's a challenge, we're going to keep stepping and we're going to keep walking. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Your flesh, listen, your flesh is going to do everything it can against God, because your flesh ain't sanctified. Hallelujah. But I want to give you a few verses pertaining to that flesh. The Bible says in Galatians 5, 16 through 17, it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. He said, if you're going to take and overcome the spirit, guess, or overcome the flesh, you're going to have to walk in the spirit. Anybody in here? Well, don't raise your hand because it's illegal. I was fixing to say, anybody in here dog fight or chicken fight? I guess that's still illegal in the state of Georgia, isn't it? It was when, well, excuse me. I don't want to incriminate myself. Might go back way back before I got saved. I had some friends. That's it. I had some friends that used to dog fight and cock fight and all that stuff. But you know what I've learned? They tell me this. They actually, when they fight them dogs or they fight them roosters, man, they train them. They put spurs on them. Yeah, they put spurs on them. They feed them. They water them. I mean, they do all kind of stuff to beef them up so that they overcome. Are y'all with me? You know why you keep it getting beat up in your flesh every single day? Because you're feeding it more than your spirit. Hello. You and I got to feed our spirit. We got to feed our faith with the Word of God and the things of the Spirit so that we can overcome. Guess what? So we can overcome and walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the desires of our flesh. Our flesh is going to continue to try to knock us off course. But to live the abundant Christian life, it's not only a choice, it's going to be a challenge. Why? Because of our foe, because of our flesh, and also because of our failures. I don't know about you, but how many of you, when you've tried and you do good for a little while and then you fail, it's hard to try again, ain't it? Man, if some of us have experienced victory before in a certain area of our life and we went about 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, and then bam, fell again. The enemy tells us, you'll never get it. You might as well stop. You might as well quit. You'll never experience. But you know in those 2 months' time, boy, God was doing something special in your heart and life. And then all of a sudden, the rug gets pulled out from under you because of your own failure. Can I say to you, even though we fail and will fail, Jesus never fails. And the Bible said, if a righteous man falls 7 times, he said, praise God, he said he's able to get back up again and keep on going. You say, preacher, what do? When I fail, you get back up and you keep going. What do I do if I mess up? You get back up, you claim 1 John 1:9, get it under the blood, and walk on in the power of God. Somebody help me this morning. Not only a choice, it's going to be a challenge. Because of the foe, the devil, our flesh, and then our past failures. And sometimes most days, to be honest with you, most days for me, it's a constant battle. But thank God I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me and gave Himself for me. Other day I was coming out, and anybody in here work for the state? Or excuse me, let me rephrase that. You're employed with the state? I used to work for the state, so I can say that. I know how it rolls. Amen. They say that they're going to change this new men's shirts to have the pocket turned upside down so they have a shovel wrist. That was good, wasn't it? Y'all know if you've ever had experience with the state. Yeah, there's about 5 of them standing there and 1 of them in there working. I know I've been there. I used to work for the state for a while. But I pulled out the other day. I lived just right up the road, and I pulled out, and they were didn't know exactly what they were doing, but they were putting speed bumps in the road. It's rubberizer. I call them speed bumps because if you go down 41, you'll feel it. But it's a rubberizer where they fill the cracks in the road, and I used to have to do that. That was part of my job. I had to go to school for that rubberizer and be trained how to do that thing. So I know the process in that. Well, I pulled out of my subdivision the other day, and they had cones laid out through there, and I didn't know what they were doing. I didn't even know which lane to get in. So I just chose the front lane, and I'm driving down through there and realize, I mean, hey, the cones are more in my lane, so I'm probably in the wrong lane. So I got over in the other lane. I'm driving down through, and I have no idea what's going on ahead of me. I have no idea, but I know one thing. Somebody's done put some cones out. They somebody that put them cones out. Oh, you know where I'm going with this. Somebody worked hard to put them cones out. I'm driving. Y'all have to pray for me. All right, I'm not sanctified yet, totally. But I'm driving down. I've got my Dodge truck, and I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking, I'm fixing to, yeah. I'm going to boom, hit one of them cones, and I'm going to boom, I'm going to hit another cone. I'm in my mind, and I'm already laughing at myself for flipping all them cones over. I'm thinking to myself how much I'm going to jack that joker up who put them cones out. He's going to get mad and upset, and he's probably going to cuss at me. Yeah, he's going to look for that Dodge truck. I'm serious. I'm contemplating that in my mind, and I'm laughing already. And by that time I look up, I see flashing lights. And I thought, oh, God, they'd probably throw me in jail if they saw me doing it. And then it dawned on me as I was riding to the church. Boy, isn't that the way Satan does our life every single day and the challenges that we face? Because that state employee, he's putting up cones, not just he don't have anything else to do. There's a purpose behind it. He's trying to keep us safe. He's trying to keep the employer safe. He's trying to keep all the employees safe. He's trying to create a good environment, a safe environment to get the job done. Do y'all realize that's what we do in our Christian life? We're serving God to see people get saved. We're serving God to see people come to know the Lord. We're serving God to live in the abundant Christian life. And we're putting up spiritual cones every single day only to have the devil and the enemy and the trials of this life. Pa-boom, pa-boom, pa-boom. But you know what that state employee is going to do? He's going to go back. He's going to pick them up. He might gripe. He might grumble. But he's going to put them back up. Why? Because there's a purpose. Let me ask you something. How often your cones get knocked down? Every day. But are you going to be willing because somebody else needs to be saved? Let's put it up. Because somebody else needs a life change through the power of the gospel? Put it up. Y'all need to help me. You going to put it up? Hey, you say, yeah, but I don't like it. I don't like it either. I ain't liked it ever since I've fallen in my flesh and I get beat up by the devil. I ain't woke up one day shouting over the fact the devil's going to try to beat me up and knock me out. But boy, I can rejoice in the fact that there's purpose in my life because of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a choice. It's going to be a challenge. Let me say this. Living the abundant Christian life in Jesus is changing. It's changing. One little word in that verse that means a whole lot to me. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. How many of you want more in your life? More don't come staying the same every day. More don't come making the same decisions every day. More comes when you and I get outside of ourselves and trust in the power of what Jesus can do. How many of you want that more? Be ready to change. Jesus is first place in my life. There's going to have to be a change take place in my life. Caitlin, you come on and get to the piano. I'm going to share this and I'll be done. 12:13. We'll get to the restaurant before the chicken's cold. Somebody say amen. So think about something. It's changing. Living a life of abundance in Jesus is a choice. If you're lost today, let me just say this. You need to make the choice to be saved. Hello, church. Come on, y'all help me. How many of you will worship and praise God if somebody gets born again this morning? Amen? Amen. But there's many Christians in here this morning. But to be honest, you know you have everlasting life. But you're not living in that more that Jesus has for you because of the choices that you're making. I think we need to get beyond that and say, Jesus, whatever you want, wherever you want, as the song says, where you lead, I'll follow. Give Jesus every bit of your life. Not just some, but every bit of it. You say, yeah, but does that come with a cost? Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Promise you this. The devil ain't going to be happy about it. But it will be changing for the better. How many of you would honestly say that since you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your life's better? With all the flaws you have, with all the failures that you failed God with, how many of you can say, my life's better? Every decision I've ever made to trust Jesus more, my life's gotten better. Just be honest with you, my life's gotten better. I've had to be honest with a lot of things in my life, with bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and all those things that all of us go through. Not wanting to give it to God. Soaking in it. Souring in it. But giving it over to Him, and boy, my life get better. And what the more Jesus wants to do in me, through me, and for me. See, this means a whole lot to me because not just a few weeks ago, I had to go back up to Northeast Georgia, God's country, Northeast Georgia. Had a young man that was 22 years old. I got to see him get saved at 18, but 22 years old, I had to preach his funeral. His name was Alan. The story about Alan's special to me because when he was 18 years old, he grew up and his dad died when he was 4 years old, and he hated God. He did. His testimony was he hated God because he was a little over a mile up above where his mom and dad, where they lived, mile up the road, and they were in a car wreck. It was him and his younger sister and his mom and his daddy, and his daddy died. His mama never remarried, but the whole time he didn't have a father figure in his life, and he hated God, and he always blamed God for not having a daddy. He said, how could a God that loved me that much take away my daddy? 18 years old, I didn't know Alan at all. We had a young girl in the church, this daughter of some of our best friends. And Alan got the googly eye for her. Y'all know what that is? Saw her walking down the hall and said, woo-wee, I think I'm going to hook up with her. Now, I done told Lexi, I done told all them young ladies, don't be fooling with somebody. If they can't keep the britches up and keep a job, don't mess with them. Somebody say amen. We'll work on the salvation part. No, I'm just kidding. Make sure they save too. Anyway, Alan got the googly eye for her. She told Alan, she said, if you want to have any part of me, you're going to have to come to church. Because I'm a church girl. I belong to the Lord. And if you want anything to do with my life, you're going to have to. Now, you got to understand, Alan, all he knew was drinking Budweiser on the back of a pickup truck, smoking dope all the time, because he hated God for taking his daddy. He said, I can do this church thing. I can do it. Well, he came to church. The first time he came to church, you could tell he didn't like it too well. Many of you know when Jesus is moving, people that don't know Jesus don't like it too well sometimes. He didn't like it too well, but man, he thought, man, I can get over this. I can hang with this. I got this. Well, just what? I think it was the next Friday night. We was loading up, going to a young preacher boy meeting in Greenwood, South Carolina. And Alan, he come along, and he was going to take the trip, about 2.5 hour drive. So he got in the van with us, and playing the part, looking like a good person. Got in that meeting, it was one of them old, under an old tabernacle with sawdust shavings on the ground. We sit about 3/4 back in the meeting, and there was a young man preaching that day, and he was preaching about how that he used to sit on the back of a tailgate and drink Budweiser. You smoked dope and all that stuff, and I mean, it was, man, God was using that young man to reel Alan in. Boy, he was just reeling him in. Whole time, you could tell he looked like one of them. You know, you've seen on Facebook maybe that dog that's got that look. You know what I'm talking about? When the Holy Ghost is moving. He had that look. Man, I could tell the Holy Ghost tagging on him. And give the invitation. Said, if you're not 100% sure that you die, you'd go to heaven. Man, raise your hand. We'll pray for you. Oh, Alan slipped his hand up like that right there. And he said, preacher began to give the invitation. Said, come on. Come forward. Let us take a Bible. Show you how to be saved. And Alan wouldn't move. He was sitting there literally trembling. I knew it. Tears running down his face. I threw my arm around that old boy. I said, Alan, I said, you ready to be saved? He said, yeah, preacher. I took him out to the old rock altar they had, and I said, call on him. He asked the Lord to save him. He made a choice to save him. Are you listening to me? 18 years old, he asked the Lord to save him. Not knowing at 22, he'd draw his last breath and be in the presence of the Lord. It matters that you make the choice for eternal life. Yeah, it does. means a whole lot to me. The old boy got saved. But he also made a choice to give his life to the Lord in service, sanctification. That old boy didn't know nothing. He didn't know a whole lot, but he knew Jesus. And he put Jesus first place in his life. And he said, "Preacher, I believe I'm called to preach." I said, "Preach on, son." Started Bible college. And every time I let that old boy testify, boy, talk about how he's so bitter and angry at God. And he talk about how that he hated God, only to find out how much God truly loved him, to send him his only begotten son. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I don't know much about my earthly father, but I sure am learning a whole lot about my heavenly father. He sure is good and he sure is God." Not knowing that at 22 years old, Brother Dalton, I'd go lay him in the ground. It'd be his last time I'd ever see him on planet Earth. He said, "Preacher, why'd you share all that?" Well, number one, if you're not saved today, you need to be. It's that real. Broke my heart. Still, I can't believe it. But it matters that you and I serve Jesus. It matters. Are you listening to me? It matters that we throw our arm around somebody and say, "Give Jesus your life. Trust Jesus and He'll save you." It matters. You can't do that when He's not first place. If He's last place, if He's someplace, guess what? You and I, guess what? We'll go throughout our day not worried about people, not thinking about the lost, only thinking about our problems. But I want to challenge us today. I think it'd be a good day for some Christians, those that are born again by the grace of God, to say, "You know what? I'm going to put Jesus first place and walk in the abundant life that He has to offer." Do you realize if you'll put Jesus first place, He'll fix your marriage? If you put Jesus first place, odds are He'll save your family. If you put Jesus first place, He'll work all things out for the glory of God. Why don't you do that this morning? Head bowed, eyes closed. We're going to stand up all over the building. I wonder how many of you will be challenged to come find you a place. Make the choice to come and live in the abundant life that Jesus has to offer. Come on. Many Christians are already coming. Here's what we're going to do for the invitation for salvation. I want Brother Dalton, when you get a chance, and one of these ladies, Miss Lucy, if you will, I want you to come and help me, and I want you to stand right here. But Dalton's going to stand here with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're lost today and you've never been saved, God's brought you here to let you know Jesus is the Savior. But Dalton's down here, Miss Lucy's down here, and if you're a lady today, God's tugging at your heart, and you have no idea that if you died today, where you'd spend eternity. My daughter's going to sing in just a moment. She's going to sing a song. I want you to either take somebody by the hand, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman. If you're a man, Brother Dalton will be down here. Get somebody beside you and grab their hand and say, "Will you walk with me so that I can go be saved?" You need to be saved. We're here today for you to trust Jesus. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Christian, you're here today and you're not living the abundant life. You know you can. Why don't you step out of your seat right now, find you a place at this altar, and tell God and make the choice that you want to live for Him, allow Him to live for you as she sings. Come on.
Always been faithful, but He has.
Come on.
I've
not always been faithful, but He has.
Graceful, but He has.
Come on. Would you come this morning?
I've not always,
hey, if you're lost, come on.
Been true,
don't wait.
But He's always come through, and He has.
If you're saved, Jesus is not first place in your life. Why don't you slip out in this aisle right now? Come down and make a commitment to do everything you can.
I'm not strong,
put Jesus first place in your walk with the Lord.
You
drifted.
Go.
Why don't you come?
But He says,
come on.
I can. Well, I'm not the better one. I I've not always.
Oh, I've not always overcome, but thank God He has.
But He has.
Come on. Yes, it has. He will.
Ever known. And He has.
Come on.
Paid the debt on Calvary all along. And He has.
Which I don't know. You can know today.
Given me a melody.
Step out into that aisle. Come down. Let's take a Bible. Show you what Jesus done for you. Don't walk out of this place not knowing.
Oh, He has, yes, He has.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to be honest with yourself and honest with God and honest with me right now. How many of you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you could raise your hand as a testimony of having eternal life through Jesus? You know. I'm not asking your neighbor. I'm not asking your wife, I'm not asking your husband, I'm asking you, sir, I'm asking you, ma'am. Are you 100% sure that when you die, not if you die, but when you die, you're going to heaven? How many of you can throw your hand up toward heaven as a testimony of the saving grace of God? Say, preacher, I'm not ashamed. Hands going up all over the building, in the balcony, thank you. You can put them down. Maybe you're here today and you couldn't raise your hand. Say, preacher, man, I just don't know, to be honest with you. I have no idea, but I want to know. Would you let me pray for you? How about right now? You couldn't raise your hand. Would you slip it up and say, preacher, pray for me. Anybody in the balcony, on the floor, preacher, pray for me. I have no idea. I couldn't raise my hand with the rest of them. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. That means a lot. Anybody else? Preacher, pray for me. Sure, I just don't know. I can't say for sure that I'm saved. Here's what we're going to do. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you raise your hand, I want you to look up at me. Don't you look up at me. You ready to be saved? You ready? If you are, tell God something like this. Bow your head. Tell God something like this in your heart. Say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being a sinner. Best I know, I'm asking you to come into my life and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm going to ask you something. I said I'd pray for you, and I'm going to. But if you've said that and you meant it with all your heart, would you look up, just look up at me. Say, preacher, I prayed that, and I meant it, and I meant business with the Lord. How about it this morning? Father, I want to thank you for dealing with this individual. I pray that you'll continue, Lord, to touch them and help them. God, I want to thank you for their honesty. And I pray, oh God, I pray, Lord, there may be many more in the building, God, that just hadn't, Lord, been honest within themselves. I pray right now, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you'll convict them. You'll let them know, God, and you'll let them understand the need to be saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I want to thank you for these who come to the altar, and I pray that you'll continue, Lord, just to bless their life. Many that wanted to come and didn't. God, I pray that, Lord, as we walk out, we'll be challenged, Lord, in the choices that we make, God, and knowing that, Lord, it's available, Lord, and thank God it's assuring, Lord, there's nothing that you won't be able to do through my life if I give it over to you. God, it's going to be a challenge, Lord. The enemy's going to do everything he can to fight us, and Lord, our flesh is going to struggle each and every day. And God, Lord, just the failures of our past, Lord, oftentimes over and over and over keep us, Lord, from moving on. I pray, God, that we'll get past the past. Lord, walk in the goodness that you have for us. God, I pray you'll change us, Lord. A life that'll be changed, Lord, is a life that puts Jesus first. God, I want to thank you for it. I praise your holy name. We love you. We give you all the praise and honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,